And so tonight, let's read Proverbs 3, familiar passage, verses 5 and 6. Let's read it together, shall we? Ready, begin. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to come together in the middle of the week and open up your word. And we pray that you would renew and strengthen us tonight and give us that which is needed for the journey ahead. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, with any building program, it seems that oftentimes you'll move forward and then maybe take a step back. There are setbacks along the way and delays and sometimes challenges that come in the area of building. And it is the same in the Christian life. It seems that many Christians will build for a while in faithfulness and service and soul winning and the joy of the Lord. And then there will come a point in their life when they are not growing like they once did. And in fact, sometimes there can come sort of a regression in the building process rather than a forward moving in the building process. Sometimes there can be steps that lead people backward instead of forward in the building of the Christian life. Someone has said that those three steps, by way of introduction, are first of all, complacency. Christians get complacent. They stop reading the Bible. They stop attending church. It's a long time since they've come to an altar or been to a revival meeting. Just get complacent. From that point, it's easy to find yourself in a state of confusion. You begin to rationalize, and you begin to think that you can handle the Christian life without reading the Bible or going to church so much. And after all, that's just a little too much anyways, getting that involved. And so you can go from complacency to confusion and not really thinking the way you once did. And I've seen this many times. I've seen Christians that just had tremendous convictions. Bless God, Pastor, we're with you, and we're going to not miss, and we're going to be faithful, and God's people ought to be in church, and sometimes maybe even a little critical of those that were not as faithful as they thought, and they have these tremendous convictions, but then they get a little complacent, and then they get a little confused. Well, maybe I didn't really believe all that stuff, they'll say. I just did that while the kids were being raised, and from this point of complacency to confusion, I've seen many Christians get into the place of compromise where instead of building strong, now they're not really building like they once did. They're compromising, and their life is not as strong as it could have been if they would have just been faithful to the work that God had given to them. Now, tonight, as we consider this matter of building faithfully, moving forward in the Christian life, we're going to have a little different approach to our Bible study. And we're going to ask three questions tonight. And I want you to just think about these with me. We've had a wonderful beginning to 2015. We've seen God work in our revival meeting. And step by step, we've been building our faith. Service by service, we've been building. Certainly, Sunday was a great victory, both for our spiritual lives and for the church in building. But I can guarantee you one thing. The devil wants to knock those building blocks down. He does not want us to continue to build and to move forward for his honor and glory. And so I want to have you think about something with me tonight. And the best way to think is just to ask questions and ponder the questions that are at hand. So I want you to answer and think about these three questions. First of all, the question, why do Christians fail? Why do Christians fail? You ever wondered that? Why is it that some Christians who start off fervently building the Christian life, all of a sudden, they're not even to be found? They've gone AWOL. They're no longer a part of fellowship. Why does that happen? Let me give you a few things tonight that I think might help you in this. I'd like you to turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at a few verses here. Galatians chapter 5. Because I believe, first of all, if you're taking notes, we as Christians fail because we rely on our own strength. We rely on our own strength. Now, the Bible says in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, but ye, if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now Galatians 5:16 tells us that we are to walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And may we recognize tonight that just because we're saved does not mean that we could not fall into sins such as are mentioned here tonight. The fact is that Christians fail because instead of relying on God, instead of acknowledging God and their need for God's strength every day, we begin to rely on our own strength, our own reasoning. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" You see, when you got saved and when I got saved, we began in the Spirit. And normally when someone first gets saved, there's a sensitivity to the Spirit. You don't have to drag them to church, and they want to know the Lord and the things of the Lord. And we begin in the Spirit, but we don't want to revert back to the flesh, back to the old ways. Zechariah 4 and 6, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." And we all need to be reminded of this fact, that we must be utterly dependent upon the leading of the Holy Spirit. "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Christians fail because we rely on our own strength and wisdom. Secondly, we fail because we do not seek support. Many times Christians that get out of the gate spiritually, they're doing well. Again, when they feel that they don't need support or they don't need the local church, they're setting themselves up for failure. God did not create the Christian life to be something for loners, if you will, but he's created the Christian life to be a place of mutual encouragement and a purpose for mutual encouragement. Notice in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now notice in verse 24, "Let us consider one another." Verse 25, "Not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together." Notice again in verse 25, it tells us to exhort one another. You begin to see the relationships. This past Sunday morning, I met with our new members class, the Starting Point class. And I was challenging them. I said, "Now you had your old friends. Now it's time to have new friends. Now it's time to gather together with God's people." Because I know after 29 years of pastoring that some of those in the new Christians class, the Starting Point class, as they have been saved, they also have friends that they used to party with and that they used to hang around with. Friends that do not go to church. Friends that do not know the Lord. Friends that may pull them back. And it's very important that as they begin building their Christian life, that they learn the importance of seeking the support of godly friends at church. And so we cannot rely on ourselves. We must have the support of godly people. Notice there in verse 24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." You know, the right kind of a friend is going to help you be a better Christian. And the right kind of an adult Bible class is a place that helps you to be a better Christian. Thirdly, Christians fail because we become prideful. We become prideful. Proverbs 16, 18. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Let's say that together. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit..." All right, one more time. Let's lift the volume. "Pride goeth before..." The Bible says, "Let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And it's amazing to me. I've seen folks over the years that they'll get saved, and after about a year or two, they think they know more than the person that led them to Christ. And they become full of pride, and they think they know more about the Christian life. And they begin to write their own rules, and oftentimes, again, they're out of fellowship. Someone said, remember the lesson of the whale. When you get near the top, and you're ready to blow, you're about to get harpooned. And every one of us need to remember that lesson. When we think that we're at the top and we know what we're doing, oftentimes when we think we stand, we're about to fail, we're about to fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. So Christians fail because we rely on our own strength, we don't seek support, and we become proudful. Secondly, how can we prevent that failure? How can we prevent that failure? There's not a person here tonight that's sitting here in church thinking, you know what I want to do? I just want to embarrass my family and lose my testimony. And I want the preacher at my funeral to have to stand up and say that I quit church and that I was a lousy this or that. Nobody is planning that right now. Everybody here tonight would like to prevent failure and be faithful to Christ all the way to the end of our lives. Amen? That ought to be your goal tonight. The Bible says consider the end of a thing. And that ought to be our goal. So how can we prevent failure? Letter A, we need to make regular evaluations of where we are spiritually. We need to make regular evaluations of where we are spiritually. Now, we learn this with our automobiles. My granddad said, Paul, if you want this truck to last through college, then change the oil every 3,000 miles. Boy, I tell you what, I change that oil every 3,000 miles. We take our car in to get things checked for preventative maintenance. Why? You don't want to be out on Highway 14 in the fast lane and boom, you break down and you got to pull over in the fast lane and wait for a tow truck to come. Nobody wants to fail in the fast lane. That's why we do preventive maintenance, and that's why we make regular evaluations. Now, one of the things that we placed in the Stewarding Life Journal, which many of our men and women are using, is just a daily evaluator, a way to look at our roles every day and evaluate how we're doing as a man of God, as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, as an employer, as a student. Whatever it is that your role is in life, it requires a daily evaluation. How am I doing? And I'll tell you what happens when you throw it out before God and you evaluate your walk with Him. Nearly every time, there'll be something brought to your attention that could be improved upon. And so, make regular evaluations. Make them daily. Mark chapter 14 and verse 38, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And so, we must daily evaluate where we are. And make sure that we're in a place of working forward closely with the Lord. Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Not only daily, but also there ought to be some time quarterly. There ought to be some time regularly when we pull apart and where we evaluate. Mark 6:31 says, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there are many coming and going. And they had no leisure so much as to eat. Now, I think about special events that we have at the church, whether it's a couples retreat or a ladies retreat or men and boys camp out. Many of these times are times when we can just open our heart up to the Lord and evaluate where we are spiritually and ask God to fine-tune and to adjust and to make clear to us where we ought to be spiritually. And so we need to evaluate. Secondly, we need to meditate on the Scriptures. We need to meditate on the Scriptures. Besides our regular daily devotions where we're reading sometimes a pattern, if you will, there needs to be time to think about the Scriptures and to meditate on the Scriptures. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. God says, I want you to pull apart, I want you to read, but I also want you to meditate, to think about the truth of God's word so that we can avoid failure. If we're not careful, we're going to find ourselves slipping away from really letting the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Then thirdly, we want to, of course, spend time in prayer with the Lord. And Matthew 6:7 says, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be ye not like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And some people only pray in public, and that when they pray in public, it's more of a show than it is a relationship. Reminds me of a young attorney that was starting his practice at his new office, and the phones had not yet been hooked up, and some of his furniture was not there, but he was so excited to have an office and to be an attorney. And so he sat down there at his desk. He put his feet up on the desk, and he was just sort of proud of his new office. And he decided to impress a visitor that was coming in and walking by the door. He heard someone coming in, so he picked up his phone, and as he picked up his phone, he said, "Hello, this is Attorney Jones, and we'll need to make depositions tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and we'll need to do this, and we'll need to do that." And he's kind of giving some different instructions and so forth. And the man walked into his office, and he looked at the man, and he said, "Can I help you?" And the man said, "Yes, I'm here to hook up your phone service for you. If I could just have your phone to help you with that." You know, a lot of times we're good at saying things to impress, but there's no connection with God. God's not interested in just the show. God wants to hear from us on a personal basis. And so, if God is your Father, don't forget to call home. If God is your Father, don't forget to call home. Now, why do Christians fail? And then secondly, how can we prevent failure? And then thirdly tonight, what is the reward for the Christian who keeps on building? What is the reward for the Christian who keeps on building? Letter A. The reward, first of all, is found in salvation. That is, peace with God. Peace with God. Now, Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Every person that is in Christ can have peace with God. How many of you are thankful for that tonight? We can have peace with God. But then not only peace with God, but the reward to staying on the wall, if you will, the reward to maintaining a building life is that we will have the peace of God, the peace of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've pastored long enough to see Christians who stay in church, stay in love with Jesus, stay in the Word of God, and there's hardships and there's trials, but there's joy in knowing that we're being faithful to the Lord. And when someone gets off the building wall and someone fails to be faithful in the matter of walking with God and prayer and Bible study and church attendance, there is always a lack of joy and always grief because there's no longer fellowship as there once was. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 165, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Would you say that with me, please? Great peace have they. Ladies, let's say it together. Great. A lot of times you'll meet ladies that are offended about something. Their kid did this. My kid didn't get the ribbon. And they're upset about something. A lot of times you see men the same way. He got a raise. I didn't get a raise. And sometimes it's indicative of the fact that we've not been in the Word of God. Because great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing, by nothing shall they be offended. You see, if we'll stay in the Word, if we keep building one building block at a time, then the result is peace with God. And so it is. Bible says in Proverbs 13:15, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard." Good understanding giveth favor. In other words, if I stay in the Word of God, there's favor and there's strength here. But the way of the transgressor is what? Hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Notice this. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." Now tonight, as we think about this matter of keeping on the wall, staying in the building of the Christian life, moving forward as a builder for the Lord, let's review just for a little bit as we consider how to stay in a building mode. First of all, why do Christians fail? Let's review this together. Christians fail, first of all, why? Because they rely on their own strength. We have the resource of God, but we must rely on Him. The songwriter said, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And there the Holy Spirit begins to direct and guide. Secondly, Christians fail because why? They don't seek support. They don't get under the preaching. They're not in fellowship with other Christians. Thirdly, Christians fail because why? We become prideful. We get filled up with thinking that we know better. This is why Christians fail. But how can we prevent failure? What are some basic things that will help us prevent failure? First of all, we must make regular what? We need to daily say, Lord, search my heart. Is there pride? Lord, has there come a drifting? And not only daily, but sometimes, maybe once a quarter, take a day away or go to a retreat or spend some time alone just to let God speak to your heart through prayer and meditation. Make regular evaluations. Secondly, we need to meditate on what? The Scriptures. And thirdly, spend time doing what? Praying and seeking God and talking to Him. And so these are ways to prevent revival. And what is the reward? Not only the peace with God, but what? The peace of God. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4 as we close tonight. Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, this is very simple. But if we're going to build a Christian life, then we've got to stay on the wall. We've got to stay in the building process, daily being renewed, daily putting the bricks one by one, Bible reading, prayer, walking in the Spirit, evaluating, daily walking with the Lord, or the devil will come and knock the house over. The devil will knock it down. And so, Christian friend, tonight, may we determine through this year that we're going to keep building and keep a tender heart and ask God for that daily peace in our life. And I preach this message to you tonight because sometimes after a great victory and sometimes after we give and after we serve, often after those victories, the devil wants to come and discourage us. And so we've got to keep building. That's why it's good that we're here tonight, a place where the Bible is open, where we can spend time in prayer seeking God's face.